Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of the Believe in Lions podcast. That's B-L-E-A-V, right here on the Believe Network. I'm your host, as always, Jack Cavanaugh, and I am joined, as always, by a man who knows something about facing Sean Payton, the Detroit Lions going up against Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos, a guy who picked off some Sean Payton quarterbacks back in his day, a little bit better than Russell Wilson and Drew Brees. NFL interception leader, all pro safety. It's Glover Quinn.
Hey man, these intros get better and better every time. I think I said it all the time. What's up, man?
Not too much. Just enjoying the week. Saturday football feels a little bit weird in this time of the season, but I'm excited. I'm enjoying the mildish weather. It's a good time, despite what happened last weekend.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, when I saw that they were playing on Saturday night, I was like, you know what? That's actually pretty good because I can do some work during the day, watch the Lions on Saturday, and then don't feel the pressure to have to watch the games on Sunday. If it's a good game on, I need to watch, cool. But otherwise, it's the holidays. I might need to get some other stuff done. So it's good to see them on Saturday night in prime time. And I mean, you know, right now is dead season in college football, and so the NFL is going to, you know, they're going to take advantage of that. And, you know, the basketball was on last weekend, in-season tournament champion. So these are the major sports leagues take advantage of these weekends where there's no college football to bridge that gap of entertainment on a Saturday night. And lucky for us, they chose the Lions.
Bet Online is your number one source for your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. Bet Online continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting in your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's B-L-E-A-V. Bet Online, where the game starts. And it's so interesting, too, because this was a couple weeks ago this was decided, and the networks were begging for the Detroit Lions. And I imagine even with the frustrations against the Bears and the Packers, networks are still begging for the Detroit Lions because it's entertaining. People are going to tune in to watch. But really, if you go back 10 or so weeks ago, you never would have imagined that the NFL would be putting the Broncos and the Lions in primetime. The Lions and Broncos, kind of opposite seasons to this point. The Broncos started so poorly and then have really turned it on, whereas the Lions, they were the hottest team in football. They haven't gotten as bad as the Broncos were early in the season, but they've cooled off a bit. So it's an interesting matchup, to say the least.
Yes, and I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be exactly what the NFL wants on TV on a Saturday night in prime time, and I'm looking forward to it. You know, Denver, like you said, they've been playing great the last few weeks. Seem like they've kind of figured things out, kind of how they want to be, how they want to do things. And the Lions are going through the midseason, three quarters of the season lull. You know, they're going through that stretch where they're dealing with things, not playing really well. And that's to be expected. Over the course of 17 weeks, you're going to have a stretch. Like I say, a few weeks ago, the 49ers lost three games in a row. And I don't see anybody freaking out about that. right now. Why? Because they have came back and played well and beat some really good football teams and beat them pretty handedly the last few weeks. And so Detroit has to just do the same thing. They haven't played well recently, but you can come back on national TV and play really well against a Broncos team that's been playing well and kind of put some of those murmurs to sleep.
And that's kind of what the Lions were starting to become known for, is these primetime performances dating back to last year against the Green Bay Packers in week 18. Then they kick off against the Kansas City Chiefs, win that one. And then they dominate the Green Bay Packers on Thursday night, dominate the Raiders on Monday night. Really, the only island game that we've been disappointed this season was wasn't even a 1 o'clock game. It was a 12:30 game for Thanksgiving. So do you think the Lions are going to be back to their old primetime self with this one, that energy coming in?
Oh, yeah, I think so. They're in Ford Field. They're in Detroit, right? I think it's a home game, yep. Right? So, you know, the fans are going to be excited. It's holiday season. Everybody's, you know, generally is in a pretty good mood. It's not super cold or snowy that I can see up in Detroit right now. I think it's a great time to be out. I think the city will be excited. Like I said, it's a Saturday night. So definitely going to be some energy there. I think the players, you know, should feed off of that. You know, they got to try to provide their own energy and play well. But it'll definitely help having the fans there and excited. And, you know, when you play on Saturday night, I know when we played on Saturday night, I enjoyed it. It's just different. It's a little out of the norm. It's not as early as a Thursday night. It's not as late as a Monday night. It's kind of like a Saturday night. And it's kind of cool to play on Saturday night. I ain't going to lie. It's probably one of my favorite primetime games, really, Saturday night.
And what was the Saturday night game that you played?
I think we played the Bears. Might have been 2016 or 17. Because we wore the all-gray uniforms.
Oh, right. Yep.
Color Rush. We wore the all-grays. I think it was the Bears. I can't remember if it was 16 or 17, though.
Yeah, no, I do remember that one now that you mentioned. Forgot that happened on a Saturday. Just the Saturday games, you forget that they actually happen on a Saturday. You just remember the moments, the highlights, the highs,
right.
The lows. It's just another primetime game, and I cannot wait. And it sounds like the Lions are pretty excited about this, too. Dan Campbell was saying that the players took over practice this week. It was more of the players getting on each other, coaching each other, and that's kind of what we've been waiting for weeks now.
Yeah, you know, and like I say, I've been the same way ever since we started doing this. All that's fine. We've said that. We've identified that. They need that. And that's fine. It has to translate to playing well. It has to translate to guys taking more accountability before the games, meaning the week of practices, the preparation, the meetings, the workouts, the training, the treatment, all those different things. Once you get that, it translates to the field and you go out and you play well. And when you do that, then you look back on those player-led practices or player meetings or those things like that and say, this is what we needed. At some point, the players have to take ownership of this team. Yes, the coaches are there to guide the ship, but the players are the ones that go out and play. And at some point you got to take, you know, responsibility for that. And they go out and they play well. We're going to talk about that. They go out and they don't play well. We're going to have to find reasons as to why the talks, the player led, it was just for show. It wasn't like people really wanted to do things a certain way. So I'm glad to see that it happened. And like I said, hopefully they come out on Saturday and play well and get a big win.
Step in the right direction, but by no means is it the answer. At least now it could be the answer, but we won't know that till we see the on-field product. Were there many times in your career where you had to do that, where your team, the players had to take over practice?
I don't know if we ever really took over practice because, like I say, when I was there, I'm going to feel a problem or situation before we, like, we're going to talk about this in the meeting. We're going to talk about this, like, so I don't think we had many times where the players had to take over practice. I think a lot of times coaches do that when they know that they need leadership, right? They need people to step up and be leaders. So then they force you to by saying, okay, you guys are going to run practice today. Well, somebody got to step up and take over. And say, we didn't have those problems. Because we knew
already stepped up.
Right. We knew who our leaders were. We knew, you know, if I felt something, earlier when I was there, I'm going to Stafford. If it's a team thing, if it's a defensive thing, I'm going to Sue. I'm going to Tully. Like, hey, man, this ain't good. This ain't this. This ain't that. Like, this is just, man, that's just kind of how I was. And so we're going to get these things handled. We're going to talk about it. We're going to get on the same page and make sure that everybody understands what we're trying to do. And then we're going to go out there and try to get it done. And like I said, if it's a team thing, I'm going to Stafford. I got your back, but, you know, this is what I feel is going on with the team. So we didn't really have to have many, like, just player-led practices. Now, we're in this thing together. We need the coaches. The coaches need us. We're going out to work together. But let us fix our issues real quick. We need to have a little come to Jesus.
And that sounds like that's what the Lions need right now. Hopefully they can figure that out as they prepare to face the Denver Broncos. And Sean Payton, a man that both you and Dan Campbell are very familiar with. You played Sean Payton several times. Dan Campbell coached under Sean Payton. What are your thoughts on Sean Payton, the coach, the offensive coordinator, the schemer? What was it like going up against him?
I mean, Sean's good, man. And, you know, I got that question the other day, like, what was it like going up against Sean? I mean, it's kind of hard for me to say because I was also going up against Drew Brees. So it's kind of like, was it Sean? Was it Drew? Is it a combination? Like, I don't know. But I know Drew's out there throwing the ball and making plays. So, but the thing you know about Sean is he's an offensive guy. And he's going to try to put points on the board. He's going to take some shots. He's going to get guys involved. He's going to find some mismatches of things that they think that they can explore, and he's going to go after that. So he's done a good job of, you know, coming in and kind of setting the tone. And like I said, it's a whole lot easier to change a culture, to set a tone and get guys to buy in a little bit more when you win in games. You know, they started out not in a great spot and everybody's making jokes about him. And, you know, I think they lost to the Jets and everybody's, you know, Nathaniel Hackett and all those guys are having a, you know, Super Bowl because they beat Denver, and Denver was off at the time, but they just stayed the course, and they've just kind of went under the radar and just worked they set them all the way back, and they're playing really good right now, really good.
They are both on offense because early in the season, the offense wasn't really the problem. The Russell Wilson was playing well. They could have been scoring more points, but for the most part, it was the kind of thing, well, they scored 21, 28 points. The defense just allowed 70 and things like that. And the defense has really come together. But the run defense still seems to be an issue for the Denver Broncos. They're not giving up as many points, but teams are running all over them. So I think the Lions can have some success there.
Well, we just got to hope that the Lions look at that and say, hey, they're running all over them. Let's run all over them. Or are they going to say, hey, Jared's been in a funk. We got to get Jared out of his funk before we go into the playoffs. So let's call all these passes to see if we can get Jared out of his funk without realizing that running the ball is going to get Jared out of his funk because that's going to open up your play action and your deep shots. And now he's going to be throwing the wide open guys as opposed to trying to fit the ball into a window with two guys draped over Amon-Ra St. Brown or Sam LaPorta. So if they come in with the mindset that we're going to run the ball and we're going to impose our will on Denver, I think it'll open up things for Jared Goff. But if they come in there with the mindset that we're going to just try to throw the ball and get Jared Goff going, we'll run it a little bit, I think it's going to be recipe for disaster.
Absolutely, especially when it's such a drastic strength versus weakness. The strength of the Broncos is the pass rush and Pat Surtain. That's both in the passing game. Their weakness is the run defense. So if they go aggressively at the pass rush at Pat Surtain, and it is nice that Amon-Ra St. Brown, he plays in the slot. Surtain doesn't really follow into the slot too often, but even that, still, just take the easy wins. Take the 6 yards per carry that you're going to rush for. Feed David Montgomery, feed Jahmyr Gibbs, and then all of a sudden, boop, dump it over the middle to Sam Laporta. Dump it deep or throw it deep to Jameson Williams.
Man, I'm hoping that they give Jameson at least 3 opportunities. Just throw it deep, man. Even if you don't complete it, throw it too far so they can't intercept it. But give him some chances. That's going to open up the defense even more because now they got to protect themselves deep. They don't have to protect themselves deep, so everything is so compacted that it makes it harder for Laporta, harder for Amon-Ra, harder for Jahmyr Gibbs. Spread that thing out, man. Take some shots. If they got it covered, it's okay. Still throw it. Make them feel like you will throw it deep, and they will have the respect, especially with a guy like Jameson.
One of the fastest players in the NFL. You got to at least take 2 deep shots a game, even if they're incomplete. I don't care. Just stop with crowding the middle of the field. Teams have caught on. It's now time to throw that counterpunch.
Yeah, I mean, when I was playing, these guys aren't throwing deep, right? Now, I was always that guy that was like, all right, they're not throwing deep, but they're setting us up, right? So I never really wanted to get caught off guard. But when you know you got a team that's struggling offensively, they're not trying to throw the ball deep. Everything they're looking for is check down to first read, which is 5 to 7 yard routes, and you play 20 yards deep and you're playing, you're like, bro, ain't no nothing going on back here. So people crowd the middle, and that makes it tougher on them. Like I say, you just can't get caught sleeping and you're the middle safety and you're down there trying to make a play on the curl route and they're taking you up top, right? So you don't want that to happen. But at the end of the day, you got to figure out a way to stretch the defense, at least make them respect you and think that you will go vertical.
And that's what I'm hoping we see from the Lions. Pound the rock, take some deep shots, just get this thing back on track. It's the perfect opportunity to do so because they want to run the football behind this offensive line. They want to bully people. So just get back to that attitude. And then hopefully the defense can also come out and do some of that because the Denver Broncos, they've been playing well on offense. The offensive line has had some struggles, especially with their free agents that they brought in. They spent a bunch of money, and it hasn't really kept Russell safe all the time. He's still able to get out of the pocket and make some plays, but he is under duress, so the Lions just need to finish those plays, which they haven't this season.
Right, and, you know, that scares me. Russell Wilson's ability to stay alive in the pocket, strong lower body, makes him harder to tackle. They've struggled with guys like that. Justin Fields last week, they had him a couple of times, I thought, and he escapes and runs for a big games, right? Geno Smith, we've talked about that. Obviously, Lamar and Jordan Love, like we've talked about these quarterbacks because how they've hurt the Lions just with the ability to be mobile. They're just not standing there. They can at least move around. Even if they're not moving to run, they're just moving to buy time. They don't want to run. They want to throw it, but I can't stand right here. I need to move over here. That right there has been hurting the Lions all year. And Russell Wilson will present that challenge. So that scares me.
It does. And because that's exactly Russell Wilson's game plan. And that's what everyone was frustrated with last year. It was, oh, well, Russ wants to just make his own plays and improvise, and he doesn't fit into this offense. Now Sean Payton's kind of blended both worlds where, hey, we'll do the in rhythm. We'll do the run the offense stuff. And then you can just go out and be special at times too. We can have it both. And that's what worries me is when those off-script plays happen. The in-script stuff, obviously there can be some plays there. I'm just not as worried about when Russell Wilson rolls out of the pocket, rolls right because Aiden Hutchinson got the pressure, but there was no one there to clean it up. And then Russell Wilson just throws a 50-yard pass.
Well, 50-yard moonshot. Heck, yeah. It's going to take it forever to get there, but it's going to get there.
He loves those moonshots, doesn't he?
Yeah. And like I said, I don't think we've had an Aiden Hutchinson sack in a while. It's time for him to get off the snide, I think. It's time for the defense to have a good game. They haven't played well in several consecutive weeks. None of them have, but the defense especially. We haven't seen, I mean, outside of that first play against the Saints, we haven't seen an interception. We're not seeing turnovers. We're not seeing pass breakups. We're not seeing soccer trots. We're not seeing swag. We're not seeing anything from the defense. It's like they're just out there going through the motions. So hopefully they're ready to go this week.
Yeah, I am really hoping they are ready to go. And then next week, the defense adds a little bit of fire as well. CJ GJ, CD Deuce has been medically cleared. They're calling him Wolverine, and X-Men recovers from the torn pectoral muscle in incredible time, and he's going to be back next week.
Dang, that's incredible. This new modern, you know, technology and modern medicine and all those different things, man, it's incredible. We're seeing guys come back from major injuries quicker than they've ever come back before. And so you gotta, you know, be happy about that. And for him to be able to come back and play with your team in a situation where you're like, okay, well, we only got 4 regular season games left, but we should be able to get it some more by making it to the playoffs. And so just excited to have him back. I'm sure they're excited to have him back. Hopefully he's ready to go.
Hopefully he's ready to go. I know he's at least going to be ready from a trash talking side. One of the most vocal, voted by the NFL players, the biggest trash talker in the NFL. So hopefully we get some fire there on the defense. This week, it is going to be Melifonwu starting once again. Tracy Walker going to be taking a back seat. So one more start for Melifonwu. Then CJ GJ expected to step back into that starting lineup next week against the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, and, you know, when you just start looking at just the team and the future and stuff like that, you know, that just puts the writing on the wall for Tracy. You know, I mean, but we talked about this before the season even started. I thought he was a trade candidate. You signed CJ GJ, you drafted Brian Branch, like, these are your guys. You paid Tracy a couple years ago, but now he's getting towards the end of that deal. What are we going to do? And he ended up making the final roster. And now he's gotten benched. CJ's coming back. Melifonwu, you know, show that he is viable candidate. So I can see Tracy not being back next year. But CJ got to stay healthy. CJ got to stay healthy. Melifonwu got to stay healthy, all those things. But even if they don't, they probably still go out and just get somebody else in free agency or draft another young player. So it's tough, especially as a player, you know, when you start to see stuff like that happen. But it's just the nature of the game, man. Nature of the game.
Yeah, and especially coming off of an Achilles, something like that too, where, you know, as even if when you come back in time, you come back for the season, you're still not fully back there, right? It's everyone always says it's that next year that you really get back to yourself. So hopefully we can see that, probably with some other team, but hopefully we can see Tracy Walker get back to his true form. Hopefully we can see the Lions get back to their true form this week as well. Offensive line starting to look healthy. Taylor Decker battling with a back injury, but he practiced in full, and Ragnow also practicing in full. If both those players missed, though, it would have been our 10th different offensive line combination to start a game.
That's
too many.
Way too many, you know what I'm saying? But it just goes to show that, you know, they've still been pretty consistent, you know. And like I say, when one of those guys go out, having a guy like Graham Glasgow that can come in and play almost any position on the interior line for you. I don't know if he plays tackles any, but I think he can play center. He can play left and right guard. So that gives you a lot of flexibility when you talk about guys getting hurt. So, yeah, we don't have our main guys, but Graham is a viable guy, right? They're bringing these guys. And so those guys being healthy, though, just makes that team that much better, makes the run game, the pass protection, all that stuff even better. So we got to do a great job of getting our O-line healthy, because we all know it starts up front. It starts in the trenches. You got to set the tone offensively and defensively. And if a team feels like you can't block them, it's over.
And so maybe that's a reason that, like you said on our last episode, go check that out if you haven't, but maybe if the Lions win the coin toss, they don't defer. Maybe they take the ball and establish that run game, establish that offense, because it just seems when they don't get the ball first, it doesn't end particularly well.
No. When they don't get the ball first, and they let the other team go right down the field and score a touchdown. So from the very beginning of the game, you're playing behind. You're playing catch up. And sometimes you can catch up. You know, sometimes you see it all the time in running. You know, you have these guys that's trying to catch up in the marathons and these long races. And they might catch up, but they had to expend so much energy to catch up that the person that was leading now has reserved some energy. And now he sprints on you for the last 100 yards and still end up beating you by 40 yards. And you're just like, oh. And you wonder how it happened. Well, you had to work. You got behind too far in the beginning. And you had to work really hard to catch up. Meanwhile, they were resting up and they pulled off on you. And so I think they can't allow themselves to go down that fast in the game. You know, they just can't allow it to happen. And one way to prevent that is to take the ball first. Just don't get them the ball first. Give yourself a chance to go down there and score. And at least if they go down there and score their first drive, at least it's a tie ball game and you're not taking the field 7-0 and their defense is coming out with a lot of momentum because offensively they just went down and scored a touchdown.
And even with a game where the first drive doesn't go so well for the Detroit Lions, that first game against the Green Bay Packers, Jared Goff, they get the ball first. He throws an interception. Packers are in Lions territory. Defense is energized because they're like, okay, we got to bail out our offense now. We got to hold them to three rather than just what we've seen when the Lions defense is out to start. It's just flat. It's just flat.
Yeah, very flat. Very flat. And you know, like I always say, I mean, you're waiting for that. Who's going to be that guy to look like get them going? You know, who's going to be that guy? But they definitely start the games off flat for sure.
Yeah. So a couple things we're going to be looking for ahead of this game. Get the ball first. Go out and score on offense. Impose your will on the defense, both in the run game, in the passing game. Throw some deep shots. And then on defense, time to step up. Time to sack Russell Wilson, sack him, get some turnovers, whatever, just make some plays. So those are the biggest emphases that we're going to be looking for this Lions team to rebound against the Denver Broncos. Anything else that you're looking for in this one?
No, that's not. I think you hit it. I'm looking for them to open up the offense a little bit, take some shots. You're at home, you're playing inside. There's not going to be any environmental things that can slow you down. Take some shots to Jameson. The O-line, can we run the ball? The run defense hasn't been great. Can we go out and run the ball? So I think you hit everything that I think we should be looking for. Are we going to take the ball? We're going to give it to them. If we give it to them, are we going to stop them? Let's take the ball, guys. Let's just take the ball. So I think you hit it, man. I think if they take care of those things, you know, come out, start the game early, not get caught playing catch up, keep the defense honest by throwing some deep shots and running the ball. And defensively, I think getting pressure on Russell to where you can get him on the ground. Because a lot of times they get the pressure and then these quarterbacks can escape from that pressure and then now they're just standing there for a long time because the D-line got tired trying to get there and they couldn't get him down, so they don't have anything left in the tank to go run him down now. So now he's just sitting there and then guys come open. So I'm really going to be looking to see how we handle Russell Wilson and then all the other things that we talked about.
And so this one, Saturday night in Detroit, any final score predictions for Broncos at Lions?
You know, I really don't. I didn't. Ah, man, I'm gonna go Lions will win. I'm gonna go 27-24
Detroit Lions victory. It's going to be a close one, but that's what the NFL wants. That's why the Lions and Broncos are in primetime.
And I want to say one thing, right? I want to say one thing. I just want to comment on one thing that's been circulated, right? So pretty sure everybody saw it, but Cam Newton had the comments yesterday about, or the other day, about game managers and game changers. And everybody takes those things out of context and just run with it, right? Obviously, Cam is qualified to say what he want to say, right? Everybody can say what they want to say. It's a free country. You can speak what you want to speak. Some people have more qualifications, right? So Cam is a qualified guy, just like people will come to me and ask me, hey, who's your top 10 safeties? Bro, I don't even watch all the games like that. I don't even know. But people will feel like I'm qualified to say who's playing well and who's not, when there's people out there that probably watch all the games that can say, oh, this guy's playing really well, but they don't really have the qualifications. So people kind of be like, bro, you don't even know what you're talking about, right? So just first of all, Cam is qualified. But second of all, game managers is what you really want. And the reason why I say that is because a game manager is not a bad player.
Nope.
A game manager is somebody that can keep everybody together and manage the game. They're going to make good decisions. They're going to lead the team. They're going to make plays when they need to be made. That's what a manager does, right? A manager manages all that stuff. And when you are a game manager, that means that you have a good team around you, to where you don't have to be this whatever, right? Game managers are what win Super Bowls. Because good teams win Super Bowls. You see what I'm saying? Like, absolutely. You can have a guy that's a game changer, but he's probably not winning that many Super Bowls because the other guys around him are probably not that good. So he has to do a ton, right? The Chiefs are not winning the Super Bowl without Patrick Mahomes. They're not. I'm just saying. They're not. Right? It'll be difficult for San Fran without Brock Purdy, because he's a good player. But we saw them go 0-3 without Deebo Samuel and Trent Williams, and they still had Brock Purdy. Right? So just because somebody gets labeled a game manager, that doesn't mean that you're a bad player. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that you're not a star. That just means, hey, I'm on a good team, and I don't have to do what everybody else has to do, but I got to manage everybody, keep everybody happy, keep everybody on the same page, make sure we're clicking on all cylinders, make timely throws, because at the end of the day, you're going to come a point in the time in the game where you're going to have to make a play, right? Make that play. Make that good decision. Throw the ball out when I'm supposed to throw it out. Make the right pass when I'm supposed to make the right pass. That is not an easy task. That doesn't mean you're a bad player just because you're a game manager. I just wanted to say that, because, like, I think some people look at that as like you are a bad player, you're inadequate, or this and this and that. No, bro. No. Game managers win Super Bowls. That's what they do, because they are managing the talent of a good team, a good team. That's tough. People don't realize it. That's tough. It's tough to be a game manager in the NFL.
And people,
so I just wanted to say that. And I'm not just jumping and taking Cam's side. I'm just basically saying, like, you know, it's nothing wrong with being a game manager.
Well, and people almost want to pretend when you say game manager, it means he can't make all the throws. And then when you hear Cam's explanation, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning are the three examples of the perfect game manager he lists. It's like, well, that kind of seems like everyone should not be offended compared to Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Drew Brees.
Right. But I mean, you know, I like I say, I wouldn't necessarily put Tom all the way in there.
I agree.
I think the thing about Tom is, you know, you look at New England, they went 11-5 when Tom was out. But I look at a lot of those teams and, like, yeah, they got good players around Tom because Tom took, you know, probably less money than he definitely could have. But those teams aren't winning Super Bowls really without Tom.
Yep.
Right? They're not winning without Tom. And for you to be able to leave New England and go to Tampa and win another Super Bowl, like, you're a game changer. Right?
I agree.
You're a game changer. Drew Brees, I think Drew Brees is a game changer. Right? And the thing that I say for me would be my criteria in that is Tom was in New England. He left New England, went to Tampa, did the same thing. Drew Brees was in New Orleans. He was in San Diego. He could do the same things. Peyton was in Indy. He left Indy. He went to Denver. He did the same things. LeBron was in Cleveland. He left Cleveland. He went to Miami. He left Miami. He went back to Cleveland. He left Cleveland. Went to LA. He did the same things. Those are game changers. Right?
Yeah.
Can Brock Purdy do what he's doing in San Francisco if he was in San Diego right now? Or if he was in Cleveland right now? Or if he was in, man, like, if he was on a team, Atlanta, and I'm not saying those are bad teams, but if he didn't have those type of players and system and coaches and things around him, would he be the same type of player? Right? That's what I think you're looking at. You know what I'm saying? Russell Wilson was really good when Seattle had a lot of things around him. He started to struggle in Seattle. Then he came to Denver and he struggled in Denver. Right? They was ready to throw Russell Wilson under the league, right? So that means, okay, is he a game changer or is he just a really good game manager? He can make the good plays when he needs to make them. He can. But is he a game? Can he leave and go anywhere and be that guy? That's what I kind of feel like a game changer is. Lamar Jackson is in Baltimore doing what he do. You take Lamar Jackson and put him in Green Bay, he's going to do what he do. You take Patrick Mahomes off of that team and put him anywhere, and you feel like, oh, Patrick Mahomes is going to do what he do, although he is struggling a little bit this year, right? So that's kind of my whole thing when I start looking at that. So I wouldn't necessarily put Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Tom Brady. We're talking about some of the all-time greats. Like,
I agree.
They're a step ahead of game manager. They manage the game well, but they can change the game too.
Absolutely. And I think for me, it's just, I agree they're game changers, but when Cam Newton, when his definition of a game manager is those guys and people are going for the personal attacks on Cam Newton, it's like, okay, well now we're just being silly. We're just ignoring what he actually said.
Right. Right. Cause I mean, like I say, you can't say Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Tom Brady are game managers, but then say you're a game changer. Like, no, those guys are game changers. You could be your game changer. I get Cam was a game changer. He was that, because people would say Cam couldn't manage a game.
Yeah.
Right. Being able, like, because you got to think about this, right? Everybody that makes it to the NFL has been a star their whole life in football, for the most part, right? I mean, Brock Purdy was really good in middle school, I'm pretty sure. He was really good in high school, I'm pretty sure, right? In comparison to other people, right? Some people can't turn that off and just be a good manager. They got to be the guy, the star, the this, the that. And that's what I would say about Cam, right? Cam wants to make all of the big plays. Is Cam okay just checking the ball down? Just checking the ball down? Probably not. Cam wants to make the big play. So Cam probably couldn't be a game manager. He has to be somewhere where he has to be that, right? He has to be that. And like I said, a lot of times when you're in those situations, you probably don't have the best team around you, and everybody's dependent on you to get it done, right? That's why you look at a situation like Jalen Milroe in Alabama. He had to be almost everything for that offense. But he's not up for the Heisman. You put some of those other Alabama quarterbacks that had tons of weapons around them, that they were really just out there managing the game, throwing the ball to Julio, throwing the ball to Amari Cooper, just throwing the ball to Jerry Jeudy and all these guys, right? I'm just throwing the ball. But they're up for the Heisman, right? So it's a weird argument. It's not really an argument. It's just an opinion. But I think there's nothing wrong with being game managers. And, you know, game changers, they do exist. And I would say that Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and Peyton Manning are game changers. They're not managers. So that's my take on it.
I'm happy we got your take on it, because it is so much more reasonable than a lot of the takes that we have got flying around this Cam Newton story that we have right now.
But it's all opinions, man. It's all opinions. Yeah. And like I say, I think so many times people get offended by what other people have to say because of a level of expertise, right? I mean, we all kind of know how to do certain things, but there are people that specialize in certain things, right? Like, I mean, I know how to do a lot of things, but there's people that specialize in a lot of things. So they may look at me and be like, look at this guy trying to tell us how to do picture frames. He's only been doing it for a year. We've been doing this for 20 years, right? That don't mean I can't have an opinion. That don't make my opinion right, but that don't mean that I can't say something because I have done it for a year, right? Well, a lot of these guys play ball in high school, or they did, so they feel like I know how to play football. Okay. But you can have an opinion, but there's levels to it, right? So things that you see, like the mirror say, it don't always appear as like what you see. You know what I'm saying? Objects in the mirror are whatever closer than they appear, right? So that's kind of how it is, man. Guys that play feel like they have a better understanding. They have a better feel. They have a better whatever because they've been out there. And I think everybody is like that in that regard. You take the best analysts, they're going to say, I know how to call. Dan Miller in Detroit know how to call a game. Why? Because he's done it for a lot of years. I might sit there and say, bro, I could do that. Not like Dan. There's no disrespect to me, but Dan's been doing that. And that's just kind of what it is. When guys have played, they feel like, bro, I've been out there in that fire. You don't know what it's like to be in that fire. You know what you think it's like to be in that fire. You've heard people talk about what it's like to be in that fire, but I've been in that fire. But it really, we just got to respect everybody's opinion, man. If you don't like it, cool. Just move on. You don't have to fight everybody over their opinion. Like, let them have it. As you know, I was telling my son the other day, because my son had had a procedure done on his knee, and his doctor told him that he should be back in, you know, by spring break, right? He was like, I think you'll be. And so we go to the therapy yesterday, rehab, and this guy was telling him, you know, oh man, it's gonna be, you know, 7 to 8 months, yada yada yada. You know what I'm saying? And he was just sitting there like, okay. So when we got in the car after, I was like, you know what, son, I was proud of you for that. I said, because your doctor told you yesterday after the surgery, he told you he's gonna be by spring break, and he's been pretty confident about that because it's a bone situation, yada yada yada. I said, and then you had another guy that's a therapist, physical therapist guy, tell you it's going to be 8 months. You didn't argue with him. You didn't try to, you know, whatever. You just said, okay, and let him say what he's going to say, and you just move on. You don't have to try to change his mind. If he feels like it's going to be 8 months, you know what? Let him be surprised when you're healthy in 3 months. And I think that's one of the biggest things. We always trying to change everybody's mind, everybody's opinion, when let people have their opinion. If you don't agree with it, just say, all right, cool. And keep it moving. We don't have to fight everybody and get all up in arms all the time.
Keep it moving. Respect people's opinion. And we here on the Believe in Lions podcast absolutely respect the opinions of Glover Quinn. And they just happen to be correct a lot of the time. Glover, thank you so much for your insight once again, especially on this Cam Newton saga and everything else when it comes to the Detroit Lions.
Oh yeah, man, I appreciate it, man. I love to do it, man. Hit me on Twitter. I'll probably be might be tough for me today, but I'll try to get back to him. And definitely Saturday night, I'm tweeting during the game.
I was going to say, at the very latest, you will see Glover voicing his opinion all over Twitter on Saturday night when the Lions take on the Broncos, win 27-24, like Glover called. But until then, we will see you next time.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.